Hello, this is What the Faux Travel Podcast, Series 2, Episode 11, and this one is all about Ibiza.
What's up, guys? Like Amy said, we are talking about Ibiza. Now, we mentioned this on a previous episode that we weren't sure if we were going to do Ibiza, but a few of you got in touch. You said that you wanted to hear all about it. Now, over the next hour or so, we're going to find out just what there is to do in Ibiza. Is it just a party island? Let's find out.
Well, no, it's not. I'm just going to ruin it there.
Oh, you completely missed what I was trying to do there.
No point listening to the rest of the episode because it's not just a party island, guys.
Basically, there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a busy show.
So let's start off with shout-outs.
Shout-outs. Now, I've got a backlog, Amy. I've got a big backlog.
Good stuff.
It's been a while since we recorded, so there's been a lot of people waiting patiently, so let's whip through these. So Roche Radio got in touch on Instagram. She said, I've just started listening to your podcast and I love it. After listening to our happiness episode, she's going to do the online character test that we did, which
amazing.
Is
amazing.
Cool. And she also said she loves the show even though she doesn't travel.
See, now this is not the type of person we make the show for, but I just love that she's into it.
Oh, it's amazing. But yeah, the fact that all the crap we say, she's interested in it, which is really good. I also need to give a shout out to the over 65s.
Yes. I've been meaning to say this on a few episodes, that we have some listeners that are over 65, and I just love that because I can see it on our statistics that come up. And yeah, amazing. So shout out to you guys, and thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, it's amazing. Also, Kartik from Bangalore, he got in touch. He emailed us. He said he really likes the show and he wanted to tell us about his YouTube documentary that he made of his friends called hashtag The Beach Trail 2017. And we watched it, him and his mates going around Thailand to all the places where the beach was filmed, which is really cool.
Yeah, it looks like a really chilled, like, night. Like, if you want to go to Thailand, like, check it out.
Yeah, which is really good. So thanks for getting in touch, Kartik. And we also had a message on Facebook from a guy called Scott Ho. He's from an organisation called the Friendship League. And basically, they organise all sorts of like sports tournaments around the world, which is pretty cool. And they raise money for a good cause. But he said he's really enjoying the show and he just wanted to tell us what he does. So if any of you guys out there want to play sport around the world, check out the Friendship League. We also had Stacey get in touch from the Rough Giraffe podcast. She got in touch on Twitter and she said that she's been listening to our show for a while and she loves it. She said that although, bit of a downer, you've put me off going to Iceland, but I blame Iceland, not you guys.
Oh, so, thank you. It's thank definitely you. Not our fault.
It's not. Well, we're just being honest, but thank you, Stacey. Anyone who doesn't know what we meant, then go back and listen to the Iceland episode. Basically, we hated Iceland.
It's definitely worth a listen, though.
We also had an email from Adriana Pope, and she is from the YouTube channel Nate and Adriana. She said she was listening to our podcast and she thought she'd send a little message to let us know she's really enjoying our episodes. They're very entertaining and she loves that you guys say whatever is on your mind.
Thanks, babe.
Which is great. And also we heard from, I told you there's a lot, we heard from Lifetime Travel Mates on Twitter. They said they went out for a ride, I guess bike ride, doesn't specify, I don't know. They went out for a ride and wanted to listen to a new travel podcast. They found ours and they are now new fans.
Oh, amazing.
Separately, Jordi Sanchez, who's from Lifetime Travel Mates, he sent us a really cool picture on Instagram. So he wasn't riding this time. He was out walking and there's a really cool sunset and he was listening to the show and he took a picture and sent it on Instagram.
Oh, I love it. I
like it when people send pictures of what they're doing while they're listening.
Oh, definitely. And actually, if there's any of you out there that when you are listening, definitely tag us on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, because it's always so nice to know that people are listening around the world. And it's like you said, it's cool to see what you're doing at the same time.
Definitely. So thank you, Jordi. Ash and Becky, aka A to B Adventures on Instagram, they sent us, I didn't plan this, they sent us a picture. They sent us a picture of them in the Darjeeling Cafe in Varkala, which was featured on our South India episode.
Yeah.
We interviewed the owner of the cafe.
Love that place.
So they're sat there having a few drinks in that cafe and they went there because of our recommendation.
That's another cool thing. If you go to places because of us, let us know. We need to know this kind of stuff. It's cool.
That blows my mind that someone is somewhere around the world because we spoke about it.
Yeah, it's insane.
And it was Becky who won our faux t-shirt.
She won the competition. So well done, Becky. Well done. I mean, it's not really like...
Well, yeah, well done.
Well, well done is in like, it was pure luck.
Well, yeah, you did fuck all to win it, basically.
But you won it. So, she tagged herself in it. It's all good.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, well done for winning the free t-shirt, which has been, it's in the post. You should receive it soon. And finally, Eleanor Pratt on Twitter said the Syria episode gave her all the feels. Don't be afraid to
catch feels. Oh, I did enjoy that episode.
It was great. And the feedback we got, we've said before, was amazing.
Yeah, really, really good. So is that shout-outs finished?
Yes. I need to catch a breath. I need to lie down.
But am I right in thinking that we don't just have shout-outs this month? We have something else to tell people.
For the first time ever, What the Foe has some hate mail.
You've got no friends. Do you want some? I'll give it you.
Oh, no, guys, sit down for this one. Oh, no. Tell us what it is.
Okay.
I feel like we need some, like, funeral music on or something.
That's it. Lower the tone. Well done. Okay, are you ready? So, Jane Badu.
Oh, no.
Jane, on Twitter. She tweeted us and she said, "Just listen." It sounded so promising at first. "Just listen to your podcast on Ghana." We're thinking, great. She said, "So much misinformation."
Oh, no.
"And why were so many questions focused on how scary it was?" So we were like, oh, what do we say back? So we thought, okay, let's explain ourselves. So first of all, let me just say, we never pretend to be experts on a place. We just
absolutely
tell you
not
our experiences and our guests' experiences. That's all we can do. Our guest on the show was your friend Elena,
yeah,
who was at the time 18, and she went to Ghana on her own to volunteer at a radio station. Now, I think people would first think, oh, like, how was it? Were you okay? Was it safe? But that's just for maybe a young girl going anywhere around the world. Do you not think?
Yeah, see, now, if we did the episode with her about another country outside of Africa, for example, if that's what we're talking about here, if it was just a point on Africa, I definitely would have asked her, because as a woman, I haven't travelled on my own before. I've always been with you. So I'm fascinated when women do that. And I think it's empowering and I think it's brilliant. And I'm almost jealous of them, because I think, like, you've got a lot of strength. So that's where my questions were directed. It wasn't the fact of culture or race or anything to do with that.
Exactly. And by her saying, yes, it was safe, I'm fine, look, I'm still here, then we get the message out there and hopefully more people go to Ghana.
Absolutely. It's breaking down those barriers.
Exactly. Anyway, we had a little chat with Jane back and forth, and in the end it was fine. We were best friends afterwards.
She loves us now.
But she made a very good point, actually. She made a great point. She said, as a black woman, it's scary for her to go alone to places in Europe. And I'd say definitely Eastern Europe. I completely agree.
Yeah.
If I was black on my own, I wouldn't go to Eastern Europe. I'll say that, I wouldn't go. I'd feel too scared.
Well, then that's your personal opinion. I mean, now I'm different. If I was black, I would like to go there, because I'm more about breaking down barriers and being more on the attack side of things.
Yeah, and that's great, but all we can say
I don't mean attack in a bad way. I mean attack on, like, I want to, like, beat the issue.
Yeah, but all we can say is someone we know, a girl called Natalie, who we met in Morocco, she did tell us about a bad experience she had in Serbia, I think, and she is a black woman. So I can understand. Anyway, she raised some good points. We had a good conversation in the end, it was fine. And some separate one, some dickhead, it wasn't really a serious thing, some dickhead on Twitter.
And that's what he is. Let's call him a dickhead.
I don't even know what his name is. Some dickhead on Twitter had a problem with us using the Syrian emoji flag in one of our tweets. And it was only because we were talking about Syria. But we only used it because we're talking about that country. We do that for every country. He basically said, oh, does this mean you agree with the regime in Syria? And it's like, dude, if you listen to the episode, you'd know exactly what we're talking about Syria.
Yeah. So fuck off.
Anyway, finally, surprisingly, one of our number one fans, Charlie Keep, she was not happy with us because
we
scored Australia so low.
Is she our third hater? I thought we only had two.
That's it. Three bits of hate mail.
Jesus, Charlie, I'm ashamed. I can't believe you're part of our haters now.
All right, that's it. That was a lot. Done.
But before we get on to our episode about Ibiza, I just want to say a massive shout out to Turtle Pillow. And by turtle, I mean TRTL pillow, because we use these on our way to Ibiza and they actually saved us on the flight. So they're what they are. It's a travel pillow, but it's got like a frame on the inside of it so you don't hurt your neck. And this is really important for someone like me who travels a lot. And also, like, for example, I've literally just come from the osteopath because I have bad neck and back problems. So, you know, when you're on a plane, you just can't get comfortable, can't sleep. Your boyfriend or your husband's, like, not letting you sleep on them, which is just rude. So you could just get yourself a turtle pillow. And that's what we did. We have two. And they were really good.
Really good. Yeah, it's like a scarf that supports your head. And I slept all the way home on the flight from Ibiza. It was great.
Which you need on the way home from Ibiza. Yeah,
definitely.
Trust me. So yeah, massive shout out to Turtle Pillow. If you want to check those out, you can go to trtl.co.uk or you can buy them on like Amazon and stuff like that. But yeah, well worth it.
Yep.
So we need to start with, of course, game show facts.
Before we do this, I'm just going to say, if any of you were following our Instagram stories, some of these are going to be repeated, but they're good. But they're good facts. And people that didn't hear or didn't watch our story are now going to get these facts.
That's true. So just to explain that, on the way to Ushuaia, we were going for like a day rave. We did a live game show fact on our Instagram. So well worth a follow, because more of that coming up when we go to other countries.
Definitely. So, Mr. DJ, some fun you replay. Mr. DJ, won't you turn the music up? Ibiza is one of the Balearic Islands, an archipelago of Spain in the Mediterranean Sea. It's well known for the lively nightlife, but it's also home to quiet villages, yoga retreats, and beaches. The population is around 130,000, but the island attracts nearly 6 million tourists a year. 75% of Ibiza's population get their income from tourism, and unemployment on the island is only 4.2%. Ibiza gets 300 days of sunshine each year. In an attempt to attract higher class tourists, the government passed a bill in 2007 stating that every new hotel built had to be a 5-star property. The rocky islands to the east of Ibiza are considered to be the third most magnetic spot on the globe. Es Vedra is supposed to contain such a unique mixture of minerals and elements that they interfere with magnetic equipment. After Madrid, Ibiza is the most expensive place in Spain to buy a house. It has been predicted that due to the unique winds around the island, Ibiza may well be the only place on Earth to survive a nuclear holocaust.
See, now, you did this holocaust one on your live game show facts on Instagram. I'm not sure if that's completely true, Nick.
Yeah, but how do we prove or disprove it?
Yeah, but where did you get the fact from?
That's two different websites now, and not Wikipedia.
You know how I feel about Wikipedia.
Two different websites have said that, but it kind of says it's been predicted, like, apparently. Even if it is bollocks, it's still an interesting thing to say about the island.
True.
But basically, if the world is coming to an end, head to Ibiza.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have a good time while you were there as well, and you wouldn't die, so it's all good. One more. Was there a date on the 5-star hotel fact?
Yeah, 2007. So anything beyond 2007, every new hotel built has to be 5-star.
Yeah, so that's been a long time then. I mean, where we stayed, I don't know when it was built. I was going to say, would you say that was 5-star? I mean,
no.
It was nice, but it wasn't 5-star.
It was like a solid 3 or 4.
Yeah.
But that would have been built, I reckon.
It was a solid 1. No, joking.
That would have been built before 2007, yeah.
Yeah. But interesting stuff.
Like, the government, they're trying to attract only a certain type of tourist.
Yeah.
But hey, it works for them.
Okay, so it's now time for language lessons with Amy. Obviously, Ibiza is a Spanish island, but don't be threatened if you can't speak Spanish, because it's practically an English island. So you will not have any problem with not speaking Spanish.
Yeah, so definitely for the party side of it. Some people who live in the other parts of the island might be like, what? It's not English. But yeah, the party side, English is everywhere. Definitely.
Yeah, true. Yeah. And but I would recommend trying to use the Spanish that you do know, because when we were away from the party island, I was obviously using my Spanish, and the people that we were talking to really seemed to appreciate it, and we got better service for it. And also, I've just remembered who we met, the guy working at our hotel.
Oh, he loved the fact that, wait, what was his name? Anyway, he loved the fact that an English tourist could speak Spanish.
Yeah.
Oh, his face lit up. He loved having conversations with you.
Yeah, he was so sweet. So when he checked us in, I was too shy. I didn't say anything. And then we went to our room, whatever, and then we were leaving again. And then I asked him a Spanish question, and he literally like almost fell over, and he was like, you can speak Spanish?
Yeah.
And he was like, why did you not talk Spanish to me before?
And then whenever he spoke to you, he's like really happy talking in Spanish. And then when he said something in my direction, his like face dropped. He's like, yeah, what about this guy?
Like looking at you like you're scum because you couldn't speak Spanish. But this is Language Lessons with Amy. So I'm just going to give you a few brief sentences that you can use so that you get better service, because I want you to have a good time in Ibiza. Okay, so Nick, what do you want to know in Spanish?
So let's go for the basics. Hello.
Hola.
Goodbye.
Adios.
Thank you.
Gracias. But if you're in like mainland Spain, I think it's more like gracias.
Okay, thank you very much.
Muchas gracias.
Nice to meet you.
Mucho gusto.
Where is the hotel?
¿Dónde está el hotel?
Where is the airport?
¿Dónde está el aeropuerto? That is like my hardest word in Spanish, aeropuerto. It's really hard to like roll your tongue. But I think people need to know more about beer.
I'm literally just going to say, 2 beers, please.
Dos cervezas, por favor.
There you go.
That's all you need to know.
Amy actually can speak proper Spanish, which is really cool. Which is going to help in South America, apart from Brazil.
But I haven't practiced for like 5 years, but when we go to South America, I'm sure I'll get it back.
Yeah.
Should we just like go through and tell everyone what we roughly did when we went there? So we went for 3 or 4 days.
3 nights, kind of 4 days, but we got there Friday really late, so Friday doesn't count.
Yeah, so we got there on the Friday night, and Saturday during the day we'd booked tickets for Ushuaia, which is one of the main super clubs out there, if you haven't heard of it. And they do pool parties during the day, and it's a massive, massive venue. Definitely my favourite. So I'd been to Ibiza before, you hadn't, had you?
Yeah, that's right.
And so I wanted to show you my favourite place, which was Ushuaia. They do different events on each day. So on a Saturday, it's called Ants. And so, yeah, we went to that. That was really good. And then what else did we do?
Well, that day, so yeah, I mean, we pre-drank before we went to Ushuaia, but then partied at Ushuaia. We didn't get out of there till midnight and then went to another club afterwards.
Sankey's.
Yeah, which is cool. And even better, bonus in Ibiza. We bumped into a guy who said, oh, do you want like free entry into Sankey's? Yes, we do. Because it normally costs like 20, 30 euros to get in anywhere.
Yeah. Seasoned like Ibizan people are going to be like, yeah, that happens a lot. Like you're saying it as if we were like really casually like bumped into someone, but we got sold that. But yeah, carry on.
Still, I thought that was a good result. But then the next day, so we woke up a bit late because we'd had a big day and night. We didn't get to bed till like 4:30, something like that.
No, it's later than that. It was like 6, I think.
And at 4:30, we went for a little beach walk, didn't we?
We did. We went to the beach. Loving life.
So then we woke up late on Sunday, but about around Sunday lunchtime, we went to go get a car. We rented a car, drove around the island a bit, and then we kind of...
Which was beautiful.
Yeah, awesome. But then we had a quiet one that night because we were feeling bad from the night before. And then all day Monday, we didn't fly till Monday night. So we had the car again for the whole day to explore more of the island.
Which was really good, actually, because I thought it's such a small island. Like, if you drive from one side of the island to the other, it's about a 30-minute drive.
I think it's from one side to the other, I think it's a bit longer than that.
Okay, maybe 40 minutes from, from top to bottom. But yeah, it's definitely worth getting a car and driving around for a few days at least. I'd say 3 or 4 days, you could probably go around the whole circumference of the place and go to the main beaches or the secret beaches. And you can really see why everybody just falls in love with Ibiza.
For sure. And strange thing to point out, but as you're talking about renting a car, weirdly, the island was really good for parking.
Oh my God, so good for parking.
Yeah, we didn't pay for parking once. Bearing in mind we're on a tiny island with lots of people, lots of cars, didn't pay for parking once.
You know when you see on those films where you have like a couple going on their honeymoon and everything goes their way, they get first class. And it felt like that when we was on the holiday because so many good things kept happening to us. Like we turned up to a really busy car park and we kind of looked at each other like, okay, right, this is where it's going to like hit us up again because it's going to be really busy. And this woman was like, hey, I'm getting my car. Do you want to come over here? And I was like, I love you. This is great.
It worked out well.
So that's pretty much what we did on our trip. But we, again, like we say this a lot, I feel like, but we were quite limited on time because we went for a bank holiday, which in England's like 4 days. You get your Monday and your Friday off. And it was kind of like for our 1 year anniversary, actually, wasn't it? Our marriage anniversary.
Yeah, it just happened to be timed around that same
time.
Yeah,
so we were like, let's go to Ibiza.
Yeah.
So, but I went there before, actually, for my hen do, or for you American people, my bachelorette party, where I went with my two best mates and, loved it. It was really good. There's a lot of stag and hen do's there, but it's not really very corny, I don't think. They're not very tacky. Where, like, if you go to a place where you hear there's a lot of bachelor and bachelorette parties, you'd be like, oh, I don't really want to go. But it's a very classy party place. So it's fine. Like, no one's really running around with stupid, like, L plates on them and stuff. Well, I most certainly wasn't.
Hey, why do hens do that?
I don't know. It cringes me out so bad.
You like rubber penises strapped to them.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I love penises. It's like, oh, God. You probably don't even know what to do with it. Meow.
Okay.
But no, I when I had my hen party in England, I was like, girls, do not get the penis thing in the L plates. I'm not into it.
Yeah.
But then they got it for me, ironically. Not the penises, the L plates.
Okay.
I refuse the penises.
You always do.
But yeah, so I'd say it's good for groups of friends. It's good for couples. And actually, we saw so many families there this time compared to when I last went. It is a really family-friendly place if you stay away from the party bit, which is Playa Den Bossa, which is where we stayed as well, which is kind of like if you're looking at the island, it's at the bottom right, kind of in the middle of the island. And so that's Playa Den Bossa. But there's San Antonio, which is really good for families. and loads of other places as well. But let's talk about the party side first, and then later we can talk about the sort of more hippie side and where all the hippies come from with the drumming ceremonies and stuff like that. So this week we managed to talk to a guy called That Ibiza Guy. So Nick, do you want to tell us a bit about him?
Yeah, so basically this guy, he is Ibiza. He doesn't even have a name. He was born That Ibiza Guy. We got talking to him on Twitter, actually, but he's basically the guy you go to for advice if you want tickets to a place or just advice. He doesn't have to sell you anything or things like that, but really, really nice guy. And yeah, we spoke to him because we're thinking we need to get an expert on the show. We need to get someone who knows what he's talking about, the party side of the island. So we started our little interview with him by asking, why is Ibiza the capital of the world for dance music?
Ibiza now has grown a lot. Especially in the last few years. I have to say, I think, especially for that song from Avicii, I Took a Pill in Ibiza, that's really put it on the map even more, especially for North American people and stuff like that. But Ibiza has been around for the longest time. They have the longest cultures and tradition, especially clubs like Space, Pasha, and Amnesia that really put the island on the map of music and whatnot. I know a lot of places are coming on strong, Mykonos, Las Vegas, but when we're talking music and the big DJs, of course, it really all starts here, and it goes back to history, really, to the people that really put the island together for music and much, much more, of course. So yeah, we are, I think, the party capital of the world. A lot of people try to be like Ibiza, but I always say, just be yourself. Don't try to be something else. Just be yourself, and I think you'll have more success.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that really sells Ibiza, because it is so authentic. And like you said, it's not trying to be anything else, and it's just what it is, and it's really cool.
Well, that's true. Obviously, it's all about the people, of course. If there's no people, there's no music, there's no sounds. But of course, it's all a tradition and a culture that I think started in the 60s and 70s, especially then when Pasha came along and Amnesia and Space Ibiza.
So let's talk about time of year. So when's the best place to go? What months?
The season now, I think, are getting a little longer. And I think people are demanding for the seasons to be a little longer. I think it's just a question of the tour operators, the airline companies, the hotel, the DJs and the clubs to get together and decide, okay, can we go longer? Do we want to go longer? But right now, things are going from about May till October. But opening parties are really at the end of May. And closing parties now are first weekend of October and the second weekend of October. Mm. But the weather is beautiful already as in April and at least till at the end of October. So I think at the end of the day, it's a question of the tour operators and everybody else to get together and see, all right, let's try to do this a bit longer.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've been to Ibiza twice now. And the first time I went, I was talking to some guys who were doing a season out there. And they said that different months kind of attracts different crowds. So for example, we've just got back, we went in August, and we noticed there were a lot of Italian people like yourself there. So is that right? Is it different sort of months attracts different nationalities?
I think August is the most global month you'll find on the island, because August is a month where a lot of people are on vacation or on holidays, but it is also the most expensive time of the year. September, I find to be, we have, less college people, university, because they're all back, and we have more young professionals and adults who are coming down. June, July is very open. You know, we have a lot of families, a lot of kids, a lot of party people and stuff like that. So, but I think August, because it is the month of summer, and especially in the Mediterranean, is our holiday for like Italy, like you mentioned, France and Spain. That's when we get the most global people on the island.
Cool. Okay. So in your opinion, for the best party, the best night out, when is the best time of year for someone to visit?
If you're ready to pay up, it's got to be August. August is the most expensive time. Tickets prices go up, VIP tables go up and everything. I think at the end of June till now, you really are in good hands. In end of June, that's when everything starts. July, all the parties are going, but they are a little bit cheaper. Okay. And then you'll get the same parties in August, but they're more expensive.
Okay, cool. See, I got the impression that like the closing parties is a good time to go. What do you think about that?
There's a big difference between the opening parties and the closing parties. The energy is completely different. Opening parties, the season's about to start. The energy's up. Everybody's excited. The closing party, it's all that energy we've gathered throughout the season, all the history that's been made, the songs that have become hit throughout the summer. It's a long season. You know, it's a lot of work 24/7, you're go, go, go. So it's also, all right, this is it, it's the end. And it's accumulation of everything that's happened throughout the season. They're both great. They're both, it really depends on your holiday time also.
That's really interesting, yeah. Because from the UK, like talking to my friends and everyone that's been, no one really talks about opening parties. Everybody always says, go to closing parties. That's the best time. So at the start, you mentioned Space, which I just want to say I'm really upset isn't open anymore, because I went there for the first time. I actually went on my hen do without Nick, and I loved it. I'd been in Ushuaia the whole day, and then we went to Space after, so like it was brilliant. But where do you think, like, obviously there's a lot of big names with clubs in Ibiza, but where's like a good place to start if it's your first time in Ibiza?
I always say it's never about the clubs. The clubs are four walls with a roof, obviously, except for Ushuaia. It's all about the music. You can go to an iconic club, you can go to Ushuaia, you can go to Pasha Amnesia Privilege, but if you're not liking the music, if it's not your type of music, I don't think you're going to have a good time. So the first thing I always ask to people is, what kind of music do you like? What kind of atmosphere are you looking for? And I think that makes a huge difference. Obviously, Ushuaia itself is literally perfect for everybody, but for the rest of the clubs, it really depends if techno house, drum and bass, or commercial dance music. I don't think there is one best club on the island right now. It's all about the music. If you go to a club and you don't like the music, you're not going to have a good time, no matter what happens.
Yeah, but isn't it true that, like, say you can go to one club like two different nights of the week, but it'll be completely different because you have different people doing their own night in that club?
That's true. You can go back to the same club. Absolutely. Because it's going to be designed, the production, the sets and everything are very, very different. So if you, for example, let's say Friday night, because a lot of people will go to Amnesia for Music On, and now they'll go to Amnesia for El Ro. It's completely different. It's two completely different ballgame. It's the same with Ushuaia. You can go on a Monday for David Guetta. You can go on a Tuesday for something else or whatnot. So even if you do the same club back to back, which I kind of try to avoid people to doing that, it's completely different, the production, the sets and everything. So again, it's all about the music. Really, really is 100% about the music.
Yeah, so that's a good tip. Yeah, don't pick a club just by the club name. Just, yeah, first think, what music do I like? That's a really good tip. How can people contact you, and like, what can you do to help people and make sure they have a good time when they're in Ibiza?
For me, it's very simple. On all social platforms, from LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and obviously Facebook, that Ibiza guy. My number is all over. And I guess the comments on Facebook speak for themselves. But for me, when I got here, I did a lot of listening, not only on the streets, but also on social media. And I just found a lot of people were not listening. They were just sending people to the clubs to make money. And it wasn't about the music. And so after a few years, I decided to put it together. And after listening and understanding, you bring that to the people. I'm not selling tickets. I'm not selling nothing. I just want to make sure people are doing the right things at the right time. And I got to work at Ushuaia. I was, I guess, social media manager. Because of my English, very neutral English, they asked me to interview the DJs. And then I was also the voice of Ushuaia Radio.
Wow.
And so it's nothing big, just interviewing some of the DJs that were there. That's why Ushuaia is my playground. I know Ushuaia like very few people, and I can always give insider secrets about Ushuaia like nobody else. And that's an extra benefit. I don't charge for it. You know, you get your ticket or your table off me, and then I can tell you how you can meet a DJ, go on the tower, or the insider party secret of Ushuaia. Because right now it is the biggest thing on the island. People are really excited about Ushuaia and they have fun there. So, but that's how it started, really.
So basically people need to do the opposite of what we did, because we'd bought our tickets already when we kind of met you through Twitter, and we didn't listen, did we? We didn't listen.
Unless you're going to get like the pre-sales, pre-sales, definitely. Especially in the beginning of the season. But if you're going to pay the same online or here on the island, I think it's always best to get them here. Sometimes there's travel delays. Something happens. Maybe a DJ cancels that you really want to see and you don't really care. You can't say you don't really care about the rest, but you're really looking for that DJ. I always say don't compromise ahead of time unless you are saving a lot of money. Especially lately, Ryanair, you know, and all the other low costs are canceling flights. There's delays. There's bad weather. So you have your ticket ahead of time. You arrive late. You can miss the party. You lose 40, 60 euros. And so, you know, if you're going to pay the same on the island, just wait till you're here. For me, it's, you know, I always say it's simple mathematics.
Yeah, there you go. Another great tip. Yeah. As we record this now, I mean, we're 2017. We are right at the end of this year's season. But you're going to be back in 2018?
I'm not going anywhere.
You never left.
I've traveled a lot, and Ibiza is really a ground that I'm very happy with. I'm just hoping the seasons will go longer so we can provide more music to the world and to the people and have just more vacation time for everybody else.
That was that Ibiza guy. Thanks so much for talking to us. See, now I was really happy that he said he worked at Ushuaia because it just proves that it's such a good club. Because when I went there for the first time, it's really easy if you're with your friends to just naturally have a good night. But it's one of those places where I really do believe you can consistently have a good night if you're there with the type of music that you like anyway.
For sure. Well, we'll talk more about our time at Ushuaia. But all I will say on that Ibiza guy is we got some cool pictures to put up on our social media of like him partying and some pictures of him with DJs and stuff. So look out for them.
Yeah, and give him a follow while you're there as well. So let's talk about our clubbing experience. So like I said earlier, we went to a night called, or a day called Ants. And it's really cool because as soon as you walk in, there's literally ants everywhere. Not real ones, but they're like massive sculptures of ants and they put them upside down and like on the bars and stuff. And they're like everywhere. And it just kind of gives it this cool, quirky vibe to it. And it'd be interesting to find out why it's called Ants actually.
Yeah, why ants? But yeah, that is at Ushuaia, which is definitely one of the kind of biggest, most famous clubs. I know it just from listening to, well, when I used to listen to Radio 1, they always seem, well, a few years ago, they were at Ushuaia. I remember Radio 1 at Ushuaia.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I need to go to this place. Really big place. Yeah, like this pool party slash there's bars and there's a big stage as well at the front. When we first got there, we bought a drink each. And oh my, that was expensive.
You know, it's a bit of a shock.
You hear that these places are expensive, but I ordered a bottle of beer, so not even a pint, a bottle of beer, and you had some sort of whiskey and Coke probably.
Yeah, I had whiskey and Coke.
It was 30 euros, so 15 euros each, I guess. I was like, wow, we're not going to have too many of them, but good thing and a good tip for you guys, pre-drink. There was a supermarket right near our hotel. We got a lot of cans of beer and stuff. Pre-drink before you go to these places.
Yeah, but like, if you think about it in a backpacker sense, like this is a backpacker podcast, so that's quite expensive for the things that we normally tell people to do. But if it's your holiday or something like that, I think it's all right. I mean, it's not ideal. If you want to go out and have a great day out, it's all right. I mean,
that's true.
Live life.
Yeah, when you're on a proper holiday, you're right. Mentality is very different because you've got this big wad of cash with you. You've saved up all year and you think, fuck it, let's just have a good time.
Let's go for it, yeah.
Yeah, and how much were our tickets? Was it around like £50, £45?
Around that, yeah. I think I paid about £100. That's for both of us, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, even before you're through the door, yeah, that is a bit expensive, but for like a one-off experience, I'd highly recommend it. We had a great time and we were there three in the afternoon till midnight.
Midnight. Honestly, it's one of my favourite places in the world to go clubbing. Like, I love it. It's so good. And I'd probably pay more than that as well to get in because I love it that much. So I'd definitely recommend to you guys to do that.
And I think it's also a hotel. There were like people sat in their balconies the big party happen.
Yeah.
Like maybe that's why it finished at midnight because it is also a hotel, so they can't keep going.
Yeah, probably. And the other cool thing about Ushuaia as well is when you land at the airport, if you look outside the window, either side, you'll definitely see Ushuaia. It's the big building hotel that's in red lights. So I just feel like that's really cool. You just sit down and I told you so much about Ushuaia before we'd got there. And I was like, look at that. That's Ushuaia. We're going to be there tomorrow. And it just gets you extra excited. It was really fun.
It was epic. So I really would recommend that. We had a great time.
So after that, at midnight, we walked back towards our hotel and like you said, we got approached by someone who said, like, because you've been in Ushuaia, you've got that band on your arm, you can then get into Sankey's if you go in, I think, before 1 o'clock, I think it was. So we went back to our hotel, freshened up a little bit and went back out and partied harder.
We did.
Which was really good. And now Sankey's is the kind of place, I don't want to say this for sure, but my impression of Sankey's is like, it's where you've been to other places and it's your last place where you're a bit messy and you just want to like go and like dance and be in your own head sort of thing. And it's the last part of your night.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't get busy till very early in the morning. I think like 4 or 5. But when we got there, we'd been dancing all day. We just wanted a bit of space, have a bit of a dance and then go home. And we really enjoyed it. I actually loved it.
Yeah, I think we were there till like 4 or something.
Four or five, something like that.
But it's more, whereas Ushuaia is a big open place. So you're out in the sunshine, you can see the sunset. Sankey's is like underground, bit of a kind of dark, dingy basement. But
love it.
Yeah, but it's good. It was really good.
It is really good. So we left there and then went for a walk down the beach, actually, just to finish the night.
Well, we felt like we just needed to have a bit of a walk, freshen up before then going to bed.
Yeah, which was really nice, actually. Yeah, check out the beach, and then we went back to our hotel.
The only thing I want to add to the night out, what I love about Ibiza, and I'm sure a lot of summer places are like this, but you can go to these big clubs, and it's quite, you say it's quite fairly upper class, like we were saying earlier, but really good fun, nice people there. And you don't have to care at all what you're wearing. I was wearing swimming shorts, like a tank top, and flip-flops all day and all night. And most clubs would be like, you're not wearing proper shoes, mate, you're not coming in. But there, I think there are a few places in Ibiza which are very dressy. You have
yeah,
to look.
I think it's called High. Okay. And that's the only place that you need to wear like heels and dress up.
But most places, you just wear whatever the fuck you want. And it's great. I love that.
Yeah, same. And that's one of the great things about backpacking, like when you're in Thailand and stuff. Just going out, especially us girls, like not caring about what we look like. Chuck your hair up, no makeup. Go out and have a good time, and it's so refreshing. But I mean, Ibiza is definitely more dressy than that. And when you go to Ushuaia, it's you feel like you've sort of turned up a Hugh Hefner's place or something, because like all the girls are like probably dressed up, but it's really cool and it's not stuck up. It's just really nice.
Yeah, it's a nice atmosphere. But all I'm saying is, if you wanted to, you can wear what you want. Yeah, obviously dress up if you want to, but you can, it doesn't matter, there's no dress code.
Yeah, absolutely, unless you're going to High, which I've never been to. I think it's new, it's replaced Space actually, because they're in the same space that Space was.
Okay,
there's obviously a range of different clubs that you can go to, and I would recommend going to that Ibiza guy to understand those, because, you know, obviously we couldn't hit every club in 24 hours because that's the sort of time we assigned ourselves to go partying. But definitely go. The whole vibe of Ibiza is amazing, especially the party side. So we would recommend it.
Yes, yeah, it's unique. It really is. We would recommend it.
What we're going to do is play our game, which is called Superstar DJ.
Superstar DJs. Here we go.
And then later we're going to come back and talk about the hippie side. We've also got an interview with a guy called Tristan, who writes a blog about Ibiza. So he can tell us all about the relaxed yoga side of things. And we're going to talk about Esvedra as well. And yeah, lots more to come.
I'm looking forward to this game because we have now got the chance to pretend to be DJs.
We're like real life people on the radio.
Do you want to explain what we're doing?
Yes. Okay. So Superstar DJ. The game is, you know, when you hear these radio jocks.
These disc jockeys.
I'm being really old today.
What's wrong with
these
you?
Disc jockeys.
That sounds gross.
Sounds like I've got no teeth. You know these disc jockeys. Is that what they're called?
Yeah,
what?
DJs.
I work in this field. How do I not know what they're called?
Radio presenters.
I call them presenters. Yeah. So they have to talk over the intro of the song, and they have to finish bang on when the lyrics come in of the song. But the clever thing is, in slick radio, they have a screen in front of them with a countdown telling them when to stop talking. But the game we're about to play, we will not have that countdown, and we have to guess when the song is going to come in.
Yeah, we're basically playing chicken with the lyrics, aren't we?
I hope we won't die if we get it wrong.
Well, of embarrassment, maybe. You'll never live it down, especially you, Amy. This is actually this is what you've tried to do as a job, Amy. So there's extra
pressure. Don't put that pressure on me.
There's extra pressure on you. You've had
No, because I have not done this for literally about 2 years, and I can't talk. I don't even know what to say. What are you doing? Have you brought stuff with you? Okay, Nick has now stood up and is taking his top off. What?
I'm ready for the game. I'm getting in the DJ mood.
What the fuck? Okay, you're wearing a black tank. He's now put a hat on. This isn't rap. Why are you doing... You look like Jazzy J off of French Prince.
Oh, yo, yo, baby.
This is meant to be dance music.
Yeah, well, I've got it. I know.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so Nick, what's the rules? Do we have to say a certain word when we think the music's coming in?
No, we just have to talk, and you have to keep talking. Like, don't stop, don't hesitate. Keep a solid, almost like a one-way conversation going, and then you just stop talking just as the lyrics are about to start. Well, you know, just before you think they're about to start.
Okay, so do you want to go first?
Yes, go for it.
Superstar DJ, this is song number one.
What's up, guys out there? This is What the Faux Podcast Radio, coming at you live from Ibiza 2017. Sun is shining. We're feeling good. We're going to have a big night tonight. Let's do it.
Oh, you crashed the vocals.
Damn.
That was quick. That was actually really quick, wasn't it?
I wasn't expecting the lyrics that soon.
No. So I think, you had 17 seconds on that.
Oh, okay.
And that was an MK song, and it's actually weirdly called 17.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Okay, well, I failed that one. So I think now it's your turn.
Oh, okay. So we'll alternate it, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it. I think that'd be more fun. So okay. Amy's up next.
I'm really nervous. I haven't done this for such a long time.
How did you think I did, by the way?
You're actually really good, but you turn American every time you take the piss. I'm going to do an impression of you, actually, my one.
Let's go.
Okay, so I'm Nick, and this is the radio. This is What the Foe Travel Podcast. This is like a proper old school tune, isn't it? So we're going back to the days in Ibiza in the 90s where I feel like the music... Oh, is that no? It's kind of like a slight voice on this one. I'm going to keep going because this is What the Foe Travel Podcast. I think the lyrics are about to come in. Yes.
That wasn't bad, but it wasn't a very like wasn't a constant flow conversation.
No, this is why I'm not a radio presenter.
No, but as far as the lyrics go, yeah, you were spot on.
Okay, right, so we've got your second song to come.
Okay, what's up, guys? Here we go. Now, remember, we're all here to have fun, but we want to have safe fun as well. Fire exits are clearly marked. No smoking in the building. Oh!
You've done it again. You crashed the vocals. Yeah. Did you notice the song? Did you notice, like, what song it was?
Yeah, we've heard this in a beef, haven't we?
This was kind of like the song of this year, for us anyway. Yeah. It was like the song of the summer. Cola by Camel Fat. I love it. Such a good song.
Man, your intros are short, man.
Sorry.
So, Amy, you're up next for your second attempt. Second out of three.
Okay, guys, so this is What the Foe Travel Podcast. We're going to get your afternoon going, get your morning going or your evening. It doesn't matter how you're listening to us, where you're listening to us. We're going to get your time going.
Your time.
And, you know, I feel like this is going to be a really long intro, so I need to talk a lot. See, this is why I'm not radio presenter. But yeah, this tune is banging.
Oh, she's sweating.
I literally have sweat dripping down my face. This is a really long intro. If not, does it have any lyrics in it? I'm not sure. Oh, yeah. Okay. Nick is nodding yes. I feel like the lyrics might come in now. See, I might not be able to talk, but I know my music.
Yeah, you don't know what to say, but you know when to stop saying it.
Yeah.
Wow, that was good. So wait, it's like 2-0 to you. Like, it's already over.
Boom.
But we'll carry on.
But we've got one more each. Okay, so Nick, I'm going to give you a third song. You might be able to reclaim something back here.
Yeah.
I feel like you might get this one, actually.
Another one. DJ Khaled, here we are in Ibiza, we the best music, we're here in Ibiza, we're gonna have an all summer long party, who's with me? Hands in the air, yeah, I can see them, I can see your hands going, I see you baby, shaking that ass, let's do it, it's gonna be a big one, here we go, and we're still going, great song, Pharrell and Calvin Harris here in the mix, What the Foe Podcast, here we go, let's go!
See, now you're so much better at talking than me. You got it on the second attempt.
I did say, let's go again.
That was good, though. That was good. Well done, Nick. Very proud of you there. Proud.
Thank you. Yeah, that was fun.
Right, so I've got my last one to go.
You do, and you know it's going to be another old school classic.
Because you love your old school classics, don't you?
I do. I reckon Ibiza in the 90s would have been awesome.
Oh, 100%.
I think it got started in the 80s, but 90s would have been banging.
Yeah, I feel like that's when I would have been in my element. I love 90s clothes. I sort of dress in the 90s anyway, so... And I'm a 90s baby. 90s baby.
That's true.
Right, last song. Oh, yes. So, let's go with the same line. We're going to get your time going. Whether it's the morning, the afternoon, or the evening. Maybe it's the middle of the night. We are going to get it going. Strong.
Oh
mate. Yeah,
I thought you were
killed
gonna,
it.
I thought you were going to nail it then.
Oh, I love it. Love that one, Nick. Thanks for your old school classics there.
Very good effort there. What, 2 out of 3 you got? And I thought you were about to get that one.
Yeah.
But hey, you've done really well. And it was good fun. We got to pretend to be DJs.
something I will never live out.
Obviously, after hearing that.
Oh, my head isn't in the game. Right, so that was Superstar DJ.
Superstar DJs.
We now need to talk about the hippie side of the island. Is it offensive to say the hippie side? I don't think it is it?
Yeah, I don't think it's derogatory. We just, yeah, we like, you know, the more chilled side.
We mean that in the nicest way possible. Yeah, the chilled side, which actually, if I had the choice of the two for a holiday by myself, I'd 100% go to the chilled side because I'm really into yoga, into meditation and all that sort of stuff. Actually, the first time I went to Ibiza, I went to Cafe Mambo with my friends for dinner and saw this guy who was sitting on the rocks in front of the sunset, and he was meditating for about 2 hours straight for our whole dinner, which I thought was really impressive. And there's actually quite a lot of free yoga there as well. So you can just go to a class and obviously you're not obliged to pay anything. It's a bit like the free walking tours where you don't have to pay for it, but you could donate a bit of money. And I know one in particular, which is on Playa del Bosque along that beach. The proceeds go to a refugee charity, which is really, really cute. Like, love that.
Yeah, like that is well up your street. And that's something that you can do if you wanted to for like a week or 2 week holiday. Whereas like, yeah, the party side is fun. I know some people do go and party for like a week or 2 weeks straight.
Mm.
But for most people, you wouldn't do that every day. But yeah, the more chilled side, definitely you could have a nice relaxed holiday for 2 weeks and love it.
So after all that, let's talk to somebody that knows way more about this than us.
20 minutes walk from the hotel around the bay and fell in love with the place completely for its own merits, not just for the clubbing or anything else.
That was Tristan Bacon from thewhiteisle.co.uk. We had a chat with him and we asked him, what are your top recommendations for Ibiza away from the party scene?
Oh, I mean, where do you start and where do you end with Ibiza? It's a beautiful island. It's surrounded by the most amazing coastline, from very, very high cliffs to beautiful coves and beaches. Some of them are very, very busy in the summer, but they're very easy to get to, like Calabasa and Calaconta. Beautiful turquoise water, great for sunbathing, soft sand. It's fairly shallow out to a long way, so it's great for kids and families who just want to paddle. You can go swimming, snorkeling. If you're not a great beach lover, there's fabulous, fabulous restaurants across the island, from the very traditional to the more modern. The island itself is covered in pine trees, which surprises a lot of first-time visitors. So it looks lush and green all year round. These have got fantastic walking and cycling trails throughout. There's a very good cycle network, as much as you need to be fairly fit, because it is quite steep, and some of them are fairly treacherous, I would say, across along the coastlines. But lots and lots of people go, especially in the early part of the season and the end of the season, for cycling, and they have cycling and walking tours around the island. There's a gentleman who runs Walking Ibiza who does a 10-day tour where you can walk the whole way around the island along the coastline, which supposedly we've never done it, but it's meant to be absolutely beautiful. The island's got a very, very rich history and culture. It's been invaded by the Romans, the Phoenicians, the Carthaginians, and obviously the modern-day tourists of today.
Do you know, the one thing that surprised me when I went to Ibiza was with the beaches. They're not all purely sand, are they? There's quite a lot of rocky beaches.
There are a lot of rocky beaches. I always say to everybody that goes, wherever you stay on the island, always ask the locals where to go. They are the people. They are so friendly. They're so relaxed. They're so laid back. And they always know the best places to go. And it has always been our top tip from day one. I think there's 69 official beaches, and out of those, I think 22 or 23 of them are pebbly as opposed to pure sand. There are the Salianas in the southeast of the island. Is a beautiful long stretch. It's nearly pure white sand, a light tinge of golden. It's absolutely beautiful, and it's surrounded by a nature reserve, sand dunes, pine forests, the spectacular salt flats. And the sea is very salty there, which is fantastic to stay afloat when you're out swimming and snorkeling.
Okay, let's talk about Benares Beach, where the drumming ceremony is.
Yeah, the drums of Benares on Sunday, originally it was a gathering of the hippies and New Age travellers on the island on Sunday the 18th of August in 1991 to protest about the Gulf War, and it became known locally as the Day of the Drums. It grew each year into an annual event, and it attracted literally thousands and thousands of people. And people would come from across the world to visit this unique event. Sadly, the numbers grew far, far too big for the area to handle. It's quite far north of the island.
the road to it, it's okay, but it's not great. There's not a lot of parking, you know, the usual problems when you hold big events. So it was basically banned. But the local hippies decided that they'd carry on. And a few of them would turn up on Sunday evenings and sit in one corner of the beach and drum and dance as the sun set. It's absolutely beautiful. We went for the first time this year, and there must have been 300 or 400 people just sat on the beach as the sun went down. And it's a very unique experience with this beautiful drumming in the background, and the sun just literally sets. It goes down beside a rock called God's Finger, and the view and the atmosphere is electrifying but quite relaxing at the same time. It brings, I think, everybody back to the fact that the hippies have used Ibiza, and before that other nations have gone there. It's sort of an enclave of peace and love and tranquility.
Is it something that anyone can just sort of turn up to? You don't have to like book tickets or anything. Anyone can go.
No, anybody can go, which this year they've had to put some more changes in place because it was becoming so popular again. There's only a limited amount of parking beside the beach, and they now run a park and ride scheme from further away, and buses and coaches from Ibiza Town and San Antonio. We've caught the boat from San Antonio up the coast to go, and you get to go for about an hour at sunset and then go back on the boat. It's just fantastic. But it's free to all, and it is literally only about 30 or 40 drummers and dancers and hippies in the corner, but it creates this amazing atmosphere across the whole beach.
Can you give us any maybe like restaurant recommendations, maybe restaurants that most tourists wouldn't find because they're hidden away in a little village somewhere or a beach somewhere on the island? So yeah, any particular restaurant recommendations?
There is a little bar called Bar Anita in the picturesque village of San Carlos, and it's historically referred to as the first hippie bar on Ibiza. It's got a beautiful courtyard covered by trees, a huge interior, and in the 60s it was where the hippies used to gather because it was the only telephone point in the north of the island, and it was also where a lot of them received their post. And supposedly the walls today are covered in artwork. And it said that this was all these hippies and artists who couldn't afford to pay their bar bills used to give the bar their artwork. It's a beautiful location, and all the post boxes, they're old and wooden, are still on the wall for all the outlying villas where the post office won't deliver to, and they still get their post from Bar Anita.
Pretty cool.
Very nice. My last question was, where's the one spot that you would recommend on the whole of Ibiza, like whether it's a restaurant, a beach, just something that's an absolute must with Ibiza? Hard question.
One thing. I think you have to go and visit the sunset, whether you go to San Antonio and the sunset bars of Cafe Del Mar, Cafe Mambo, or round the corner to the Bamboo Bar in Golden Buddha to watch the sunset. The sunset is absolutely spectacular, and it's different every night. But the best place to watch the sunset is overlooking Es Vedra, which is a rock which sits just off the coast of Ibiza and comes 400 metres out of the sea, and it's shrouded in myth and legends. Supposedly the third most magnetic rock in the world. Some say it's a UFO reporting point. Others, the gateway to Atlantis. Many fishermen and divers have reported strange noises, lights from the rock. Endless myths. It's the home of the sirens and the sea nymphs who tried to lure Ulysses from his ship in Homer's Odyssey. It's meant to be the birthplace and the holy island of the Phoenician goddess Tanit. And in modern times, although probably showing my age a bit, it was on the cover of Mike Oldfield's album The Voyager. And last year it featured in the film White Island. But you go up and there's a huge, open, fairly flat area just overlooking the rock, and the sun just disappears behind it. It's absolutely spine-tingling. And hundreds of people go up there to meditate, but everybody's absolutely silent. And it's an amazing place just to go and reflect on life. And they say that if you watch the sunset on the cliffs there, you will come back to Ibiza time and time again.
Yeah, well, we'd agree. We have been there, and it was, for me, the highlight. It was of the trip. It was stunning. Yeah, it was amazing. How can we find your blog? And is there anything else that you'd like to give a shout out to or to promote to us?
The only thing I would add, those that go to Ibiza, because it's an island, you have to go out on the water, whether you take a ferry to the beaches You take a day excursion. We love going out on a boat, which is a traditional wooden Ibethencan vessel, which was originally used to bring quarry stone and sand from the north of the island down to the south for building, but it's been converted into a day trip boat. It's run by an Ibethenco family, and it's an absolutely lovely way to see the coastline of the island. You go snorkeling and swimming with them, and they show you the best places. But whatever you do, you have to go out on the sea when you're in Ibiza. You can find the blog at thewhiteisle.co.uk. We're also on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram as the same name.
Thank you so much to Tristan for talking to us. And we're so glad that he brought up Esvedra, because it's such an amazing place. And we were going to talk about that next. So how smooth is that?
Perfect.
But Esvedra, Nick, tell me your thoughts.
Oh, it was epic. Like, doing a bit of research before we went, we saw this was one of the main places to go. And yeah, looking at pictures online, and we've got a picture on our Instagram of me like holding my arms out, and it's like a big rock in the sea. And yeah, the pictures look cool, but I don't know what it was, but seeing it in the flesh, it was just epic. And we were standing on the top of this big cliff ourselves, so we're really high up, and the sea's down there and kind of in the distance, it's big rock, and some clouds are coming over, and like the rock was touching the clouds.
Yeah, it's really tall.
So that is a big rock sticking out of the sea, and it was just really epic. And I don't know, it had some sort of aura around it. I know Tristan was saying there's a lot of kind of mythology attached to it, and lots of significant things are supposed to have happened there, and there's lots of stories and myths and legends and whatever. And I don't know, it kind of felt like it, looking at it. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those places where when you're traveling and you go there, and then you just have this sort of like epiphany moment where you suddenly feel like having a deep conversation with whoever you're with, and it just brings that out of you, doesn't it? It's one of those life moments where you're just like, wow, like Earth is beautiful. And yeah, it just looked amazing.
And do you remember there was two guys who had like parked their like caravan or camper van or RV, whatever, they'd parked it with like a great view, and they just sat in their deck chairs. I'm guessing they were sleeping there for the night. What a spot. It was amazing.
What a spot to wake up to. Imagine like unzipping your tent and then seeing that. It is just, without a doubt, my top recommendation for Ibiza. If you're going to go anywhere, whether it's the clubs or whatever you're going for, I'd say go for Esvedra. Once we'd seen it on that cliff edge that you were saying, we were sitting on a tree and just like sitting there having a deep chat about like traveling and stuff like that. We then went for dinner just before heading to the airport, and we went down the cliff and had dinner in this restaurant that had a really good view of it as well. And there's actually a Michelin star restaurant that you can do that in, but that was closed when we got there. Else we would have been like, we've got all the dollar, we can do that. But it's actually on my bucket list to go to a Michelin star restaurant, and I feel like that's the place I want to do it in.
But damn, we didn't.
No.
But yeah, let's be honest, we wouldn't have been able to afford to, because we went to this other restaurant and I really wanted some paella. I'm like, I'm in Spain, I want paella. And it was like minimum two people, 30 euros each. We're like, what? Stupid.
60 euros for a bit of rice and shrimp.
Yeah. So, and then it said, like, oh, but there's like half a roast chicken with chips and salad and all this stuff for 10 euros. We're like, yes, please. So we had this big meal, yeah, for 10 euros.
Yeah, with that kind of view. But the backpacker just comes out of you, doesn't it? Because we're saving to go like proper backpacking as well, because we're doing South America in a couple of months' time. We had a certain budget that we had to stick to on this holiday. Otherwise, we definitely would have like gone for the Michelin star. Out of all the ones that you can go to, you want to go to one with a view, don't you, to tick off your bucket list.
Very true. But yeah, magical place. So definitely check it out if you guys are there. That's Esvedra.
Well done. Muy bien.
I was doubting myself halfway through that. Esvedra?
Right, so that's the end of our Ibiza episode, which means the last one is the next one. It's the last episode of Series 2.
Oh my God, yeah.
Actually, we've got a mini episode, but then your main episode is going to be the last one of the series.
Yeah, and wow, the series has flown by. That's the second series, almost done. Yeah, 12 episodes, so it's over a year. So that's 2 years of What the Faux. It's, you know, it's a lot, isn't it? It's pretty cool.
The next episode, and I'm really excited about this, and I feel like it's a really good way to end Series 2. We are going to be talking about England.
Yeah.
And the UK, because it's our hometown. I can't believe we haven't spoke about this yet. There's so many people that listen to our podcast that would love to come here. So we need to tell you about our country.
Yeah, it's going to be very cool talking about our home. But we have been doing research already. We've been tourists for the day. We've been around the country, in fact. We've been to a few different places being tourists. And trying to give you guys as much knowledge as possible about the place we call home.
And it's really cool. And it's just made me fall in love with our country even more. So I'm very, very excited to talk about that. Another thing that has happened is our faux T-shirts are now available.
Yeah, we've got all sorts of merchandise available on our website. We've got a shop, which is really cool. And
that's whatthefotravelpodcast.com.
Thank you very much. It's really cool that we've got some merchandise available. Now, if anyone buys, we get a little bit of money from it, but it all goes towards the show because we're trying to take the show on the road a lot more. We're going to need equipment and things like that. So it's a way that you guys can help the show. But what I do say to everyone is the main thing is that you just listen and enjoy the show. If, like us, you're in a position where you're saving for traveling, and you can't afford to buy T-shirts, so don't do it. But if you're in a position where you can afford to do it and you want to support the show, then that is perfect.
Then do it.
Buy our stuff.
But we've also got our faux party coming up as well.
Oh, man. Faux party number 2, 21st, which is a Saturday, of October. So it's this month, you know, as this episode's being released. It's coming up. Already got loads of people said they're going to come. Not loads, like as if like thousands, but we've got
there are millions of people
but we've got a really good number of people coming. We have got a guy flying from the fucking USA.
That's mental, isn't it?
We've got
and wait, it's not just that, it's his first time leaving his country.
Holy shit,
like we have lured him away from America.
Mind blown. Mark, you know who you are. And we've also got a guy flying from Norway. Got actually Jon, who you've heard way back at the beginning,
producer Jon.
And Michael, the legend that is Michael, what's his Instagram? The Viking Adventures? I'm
gonna have to yes, actually, you know, let's talk about that. Because Michael from Copenhagen, who stayed with us at the faux party, who's an awesome guy, has started his own YouTube channel. And it's called A Viking's Adventures. And I would definitely recommend checking it out. Actually, we'll put it on like our Facebook and stuff so people can find it easily.
Yeah, cool. So yeah, we've got Americans, we've got Danish, we've got Norwegians. Of course, we've got all you Brits. It's going to be good fun. I can't wait. But a bit more relaxed this time. We're starting about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Just get there when you can. All the information is on our Facebook page or just email us. You'll hear the email shortly at the end of the episode. I don't need to say it now. 3 p.m. in a pub near London Liverpool Street train station. Saturday, 21st of October.
Be there.
Should be good.
Cool. Well, that was our Ibiza episode. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook and check out our website if you want to know any more about us. Or want to see our old episodes and mini episodes, definitely check that one out. And we will see you soon for our England episode.
Cool, blimey, governor.
Adios.
Please feel free to get in touch with the show. You can do that by checking out our website, www.whatthefotravelpodcast.com. From that, you can find all of our social media channels. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Our email address is whatthefotravelpodcast@gmail.com.